welcome in. Helps to turn on the mic, right?
Kind of.
Welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, August 19th. Right? Yep. 2023, Season 17, Episode 28. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Yours was on. You could have just, I'd just throw the intro to you. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net, or join us on Discord, which we're on right now with. Just go to, you got to set up an account on Discord and all this other stuff. It's really not difficult to do. It's kind of nice to have. There are Discord servers for all kinds of things. Football fan, there's a Discord server for football. There's probably many football servers for Discord. Baseball, sports, yeah, in general, it's right there. Video games, you got that. Anything you... I'm part of a pinball Discord. You know, for just pinball. Do I look at it every day? No. But I'll check it now and again. So yeah, Discord, it's fantastic. And we're also on Twitch right now, so go to twitch.tv and type in In-Game Chat. You'll be able to find us there. And you can watch the show from there and join us in the chat room live while we broadcast, which is what we're doing now. So yeah, I'm going to use this thing here for a second and get that out of the way. Get that over and done with. So, gosh, everybody's in the chat room going nuts now. And we already have a phone call, too. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Hey, Soldier Boy.
Oh, hey, man. What's going on?
How you doing?
Hey, I just want to mention something. You ever been to Vegas lately?
Not lately. The last time I was in Vegas was 2001, actually. November of 2001.
Well, they got a place there. It's a larger
pinball
collection of pinball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And you can pay by the hour. Oh, God.
Uh-huh. I know the one you're talking about.
I said, here's some money. You can go gamble. I'm staying here for a while.
Oh, man. I know.
My favorite one brought me back memories is, remember the little baseball players that moved around and on the top, the little mechanical ones?
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
It would you'd hit it, and you had a little bat, and it'd go up a ramp for a home run, stuff like that, grand slams.
Yep. They've got they've got one of those in Vegas, I believe they do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Vegas, yeah. And it's the world's largest collection.
Yep, they've got a Goliath there, I think, as well. Is it Hercules or Goliath? I don't know. It's the largest pinball table ever built. I think it's Hercules.
Wow, I never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a massive table. It is a massive, massive pinball table.
Wow. Do they have anything like that even close to here?
You know, no, I mean, nothing like that, obviously. Maybe Atlanta's got something. Maybe even Tennessee somewhere has something. I don't know of anything in the state. I know of a few places that just have some pinball machines in them.
Yeah.
But, you know, like little ice cream shops and little play place type, you know, mini golf places
and
stuff.
And I love the idea, too, of being paid by the hour, you know? Play whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I would go to Seattle, they had the Seattle Pinball Museum, and it was a very small place, but I mean, it was packed with pinball tables, and you just went in, you paid, I think it was $10, wow. 10 or 15 bucks. They put a wristband on you, and
yeah.
And then you just played. They were all on free play, and that was it. You just played.
So. That's the way it is in Vegas. You just got a wristband on there and just have at it, man. And they got some place I saw on the internet where I guess in bigger cities or fancier neighborhoods or something, where they have, laundromats.
Yeah.
Where they sell draft beer and have pinball.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm never doing laundry at the house anymore.
I know. Drink. Do your laundry. Get a drink. Play some pinball while you're
play
waiting.
Play pinball while your clothes goes around and around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see, you get in that way, by multitasking, you get something accomplished. You're having fun. You're feeling good. And you got clean laundry.
You're getting that stuff done, but also enjoying while you're doing it.
And you know what's so sad is I worked in an arcade. Remember Aladdin's Castle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
You worked there?
So, Yeah, I worked at the one in the Montgomery Mall. Yeah,
it was Montgomery. No, it was well, I thought Aladdin's was in Eastdale.
Oh, that's
Aladdin's was in Eastdale.
Well,
yeah,
in
Diamond
Gems.
Diamond Gems.
Yeah, Diamond Gems was in Montgomery Mall.
Diamond Gems, that's what it was. Yeah, the spinoff. The spinoff. And I tell you, I played somebody's computer pinball machine. It's not the same. I gotta have. It's like a book. I gotta have a book in my hand. I can't have a Kindle, to read a book. I like to turn the page. I like to hit the flippers, I like to take the ball on my left side and just pop it just right so I can get it over to my right flipper so I can get extra stuff. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
They're skill to pinball. I'm telling you.
Yeah. The old catch. You can catch the ball and then you can pass the ball if you're good enough. You can. If it's not, you're
and
not.
You know, the next best thing to sex. And don't tell my girlfriend this, okay? Is when the multi balls release. Remember, you have about five or six balls going everywhere, man.
And if you can,
aren't even strong enough to push two of them up.
Yeah, if you can find an Apollo 13 table, it has a 13 ball multi ball.
Oh wow!
Yeah, the Apollo 13 table based on.
Did you ever get 13 of them?
I've only watched a video. It's on YouTube of somebody doing that. I've never come across the actual table itself. When I had those
multi-balls come six or seven coming out, it seemed like the solenoid in the flipper wasn't even strong enough to get two.
No. Like you could catch maybe two, but if you're adding a third or more, it will not hold. You can't
keep that.
Nope, you can't. So
it's just not the same playing a computer version. I mean, you got to have that tilt in there. Got to have a little movement, a little play. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. I understand. I will, because of the limitedness that we have of, if that's a word, of pinball around us, I will take my electronic pinball. I will take that if I can.
Well, you used to have a couple of nice ones.
Where?
Old ones, Chris's Hot Dogs.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He had two in the back. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was like one of those old cowboy version from like the 1950s. Oh, yeah. I loved it.
Huh. I was in there. God, I haven't been in there in a while. This is probably back in. I was probably in there around 2020 or so, or 21, and I don't remember even seeing a place for them. But maybe I missed it. I don't know. But anyway,
I think you probably missed it because it's kind of hidden, kind of well. But they don't have them anymore. Because I come in there and I was like, "Hey, where's the two old pinball machines you used to have?" You go, "Oh, we got rid of those." I'm like, "Oh,
man."
And it's I think there's money for it. I think. If somebody opened a business and had it played by the hours and stuff, a business like that to open up around here,
It's possible. I don't know. I mean, pinball, sadly, is kind of a dying thing, just like arcades are dying
It's only a dying thing if you don't teach your son and take him to a pinball. Because once you get that machine in the techniques and the shots and you see the angles and everything and learn the professionalism of it and everything, it's not just luck hitting the target, going up that ramp.
Yeah, well, I only say it's a dying thing because there's very few manufacturers of the tables anymore.
I know
we've got tons of them out there, just like we got tons of arcade machines out there. But arcade machines as well, they're not manufacturing arcade machines that I know of. They're probably just as sparse as the pinball developers are as well. I think Stern's still doing pinball machines.
Stern's Goldberg or something.
Gottlieb.
Like that. Yeah,
I think Gottlieb and Midway may have been the
Bally's still making.
Bally
sure.
is what I'm thinking of. Bally and Midway,
which
out of Chicago, and then there are a couple of others like Jersey Jack, which is a brand new. I say brand new. They've been around for
I've
a
heard
while.
Of that one.
Yeah, Jersey Jack's brand new. They've done. They did the Wizard of Oz table. They did the Big Lebowski table. They did the Batman 66 table. There's a couple of others that they have done. What was the new one? There was a new one that was revealed, and I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was a comic book character that got one, and some band got another pinball. I don't know if it was Aerosmith or I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Metallica. It got a pinball machine. I can't remember.
I'll tell you that one thing I had a hard time playing. Remember those? They had double deckers and triple decker ones.
Black Knight 2000 is a double decker machine. So
that is hard to play.
Yeah,
especially when the multi balls release.
Well, the old one that was double decker, but the old one that had like two playing fields on it was Black Hole, I believe.
Oh, It was, you're right.
Yeah, because you had the playing field on top, and if you were able to get it in a certain position, it would go under the playing field to another field that was below it. Yeah, that you could play on. I believe it was black. Yeah, I think it was black hole. It was a black hole.
You know, what's funny was when you played pinball, too, it necessarily wasn't always about the score. It was always trying to get the trick shots and trying to get the things that are almost nearly impossible to hit.
Yep. I know.
Because the score, no big deal.
Yeah.
I used to love it. But well, I wish they would bring back something like that.
I would, you know what, if they do, I'll be talking about it probably every week. But if they ever brought it around here. Because I would probably go there every week. But yeah, take care, man. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah. Pinball. Yeah.
It's still fun. Have at it.
Totally is. I still have my, you know, my plan of gutting out the old pinball machine, getting the one. There's one at Sam's that I saw crop up, Legends Pinball, I think is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, they had one set up there a couple of Christmases ago. And you could, it was digital, it was all digital. But it had recreations of some older tables, Black Hole being one of those. Mm-hmm. So you could select Black Hole and the table would show up on the screen there as you're playing it. And you could, you know, you're playing pinball. However, you can modify those. You can, I don't want to call them, it's not really hacking them, whatever. You just, it's a computer and you put whatever you want to put on it. And you're able to modify them. And so getting one of those and, you know, putting as many tables as I want to. Real world tables.
Yeah.
Actual, and I have no idea how they do this, how it's done, other than somebody scanning something in and then going into a program where they can build all those ramps and things that go with it. But, I mean, it is the board itself. It is all the ramps and everything else that are in it. It is the backsplash. The back glass screen up there that also displays.
Yeah.
So everything just like an actual pinball machine.
Yeah, so it's like two TVs in an L-shaped setting.
Yeah, frame, exactly.
And emulate it. So it's a pinball emulator.
And you can put any kind of tables you want on there that are with that. And you can also modify them to hook into a joystick with buttons.
Mm-hmm.
You can modify that to plug into it on the top, and so your play field can become, especially on a vertical game like something like Pac-Man or Donkey Kong, that was a vertical type thing, whole thing right there. I was thinking of, like, well, if you got two, you could do a Street Fighter, but the screen would be, you know, this, you got to take a television screen, widescreen television screen, and then flip it, you know, turn it 90 degrees, and that's how you're playing your games. But games like that were one screen, like a Pac-Man or a Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of some others that were like that. Burger Time would be good one there. We're fantastic too. You can play those too. So, I mean, it's not just pinball that you could play with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're revamping those Legends tables, which means the price is going to go up on them. But hopefully, if they get rid of the inventory that they had previous, price will be low on those. I think it got down to like $250 one year, and I still didn't pull the trigger on it. Wanted to. Still didn't pull the trigger on it. But so.
Yeah, look, I figure if billiards is still a thing, pinball ain't going away anytime soon.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I'm thinking of like why billiard sticks around, but pinball might not. Billiards probably is easier to, I don't want to say probably easier to maintain, easier to fix, you know.
Yeah.
Felt gets teared, you just reupholster the pool table, you know, with felt. If you're, like he was talking about, your solenoids or whatever, if those start going out or the things, there's parts out there that you can buy if you're building one of those. Now, if you're not and you've got one of the electric tables, you're okay. But if you've got an older table that still uses everything, then parts can be sometimes hard to find. They're not completely gone. You can still find them. But I think the upkeep, the maintenance, the everything else, it just, I don't know. I don't know why it died out. I guess probably because arcades were dying out. And that was really the only place you could go. But who knows?
Yeah, but like you said, there's all types of places across the country.
There is now,
still
yeah.
making them, yeah. Museums, things like that. Or just showing up in random spots here and there.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, the laundromat with the draft beer and the mm-hmm. two pinball machines in the back.
I thought there was a place in Auburn, which is about like 30 minutes from here.
Mm-hmm.
45, I guess, from Prattville where I live.
I want to say there was a place in Opelika, something like that.
Yeah. It's like Rock and Roll Pinball or Rock something.
I think that was the name of it.
I can't remember.
Let's see.
And I don't remember. I think they tried to open up in 21 or 20, mm-hmm. maybe. Maybe it was 19. I don't think it would go that back that far. But something. I have no idea if they kept it going, survived.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Pinball in Opelika.
Still open? Is that what you're finding out?
I'm just looking up. I just typed in Alabama pinball locations, and the first place popped up was Rock and Roll Pinball.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
So, is there a link to like their website or something?
That's the search says open.
Okay.
See the website.
Well, that's cool. Well, then there you
go. Website's still active.
Yeah, Soldier Boy. If you're still listening, check out that Rock and Roll Pinball in Auburn. I don't know how many does it say how many tables they have?
See, set to free play, 10 an hour.
10 an hour?
Yeah,
$10 an hour.
$10 an hour. Over 30 pinball
30
machines.
Tables?
Yeah.
Okay. So at the very least, 30 tables to play. I'd have to give them like probably $50 here because I'm going to be here a minute. Look, it takes me a while to play. I don't just sit there and I don't play my three, you know, my three turns and
move on.
Yeah,
I learned a table. Yeah, I saw that at the last convention I went to. I think it was Comic-Con out in Birmingham. That's where I saw Black Knight. It was two Black Knight and an older one called Fire, just a firehouse themed one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing on that one. But there was one person there. She was having a grand old time with Black Knight.
Yeah.
Knew the angles and everything. So she was racking up a big score on her playthrough.
That, yeah, I will say that's the only other reason. So, like, if you're playing and somebody's sitting there waiting for you to finish, obviously I can't play another round when I'm done. I have to hand it over to them and then get in line. But for the most part, whenever I play a table, I learn a table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just like, hey, let's play a round real quick. No. I want to learn the table.
Yeah. If you learn the table well enough, you can be there a long time with one, with your first ball.
Oh yeah.
It's like, I wonder today, South Park, there was a South Park, table at, Aladdin's Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the right flipper. If you let the ball get right on the hinge and you hit that thing consistently, you would always hit the ramp and activate the side game with Kenny. You'd hit Kenny and the ball would drop in, and it would you could do that over and over and over again. And there are tricks like that on every table.
That Aladdin's Castle also had the first place I played, the Theater of Magic table, which was really cool because it had magnets in the board. So during a certain triggered event, your ball could be coming straight for your flipper. You're like, all right, when it comes, I'm gonna hit it, but the magnet spinner thing would make it wobble across. And Theater of Magic, it had South Park, they had, I think they had some other one that I'm trying to remember, but I can't remember what it was. But
it was one Western themed gambling one. I remember that one.
Yeah. Love me some pinball. Wow. Okay. Let's take a break since we're already there. We're going to take this break here. When we come back, we will either talk about what we played or we'll jump into the news. There really isn't much of anything to speak of news-wise, really, that I can tell. A lot of drama this week, but not necessarily any kind of... I got something about a police officer getting arrested for Pokemon cards. We've got Destiny having some stuff to win back play. I didn't even know they lost the players. It's sort of a whatever it is. This whole thing with Linus Tech Tips, I'm not going to go into detail on that, but it is a mess for them and just horrible. And I don't feel sympathy for them. That's not me. Don't get me wrong on that. Plenty of going on. with that. So when we come back, it's going to be one of those things. Going to leave you here with music from a game called The Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood, which I think came out this week. So that's what you're going to listen to next, and we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game that I think got delayed. I don't know that it's out. It only got delayed by like a week. So it may be out now, or it may be coming out this week. It is a little bitty indie title called WrestleQuest. Name of this track is called Falls Count Anywhere. It's like a little RPG, but it involves wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of interested in it myself, but yeah, that's what you're listening to there. We were just looking up, we were talking about pinball, and RJ looked up the Hercules table. It is massive, and we were wondering, like, what's the ball? It's not a regular pinball that's in that machine. No, turns out it is a cue ball, a pool cue ball, a little white ball, and the flippers are
washing machine solenoids are used to power the flippers in this thing.
Right, yeah. So that they could hold.
Yeah, that's how much power. That's how much power is needed to get this thing running. Yeah,
not just hold the cue ball, but push the cue ball back onto the playing field.
Yeah,
when you press the button, so it's a massive. And we were saying like that's a table that you could not replicate in a digital realm because the gimmick of the table. It's, I mean, you can replicate the playing field and everything, but the whole gimmick of it is the size.
The size of it is what makes the actual makes table. It work. Yeah.
So
I know, shaking this table to try to bump it.
Oh my God. Yeah. The tilt. Yeah.
Yeah. Tilt probably is not an option on this table.
But anyway, welcome back to the show. What'd you play, man? What'd you do?
For the most part, I'm still playing, MLB The Show.
Okay.
I'm still, creating things here and there, teams and rosters and setups and things of that nature. Still got the Road to the Show thing that I'm still working with. I'm still getting consistency with my pitching and trying to build that up because it is a grind. Like I said, it's a grind. It's going to take years. It takes a long time in real life to get from the minors to the majors.
Yeah.
Unless you extremely lucky or the team or the main team is in desperate need of a new talent or something along those lines. But it's going to take time to build my stats up to where I want it to be. And I'm here for it because I'm having fun playing the game. And other than that, Elden Ring. Still trying to work the ins and outs of getting through the game stealthily because I'm playing as an assassin, mm-hmm. basically, more than anything else. So emphasis on dodging instead of sitting there guarding like I normally do. But Other than that, that's pretty much it. Those two.
Yeah, I got a lot of gaming in. So Wendy and I finished up Wolf Among Us. Were we playing Wolf Among Us last time we did one, or did we knock that game out in a week? Did I mention we were playing Wolf
Among
Us?
Yeah, you mentioned playing it, but you were playing. She was making the decisions.
Right. Yeah.
In this time. Yeah.
I was wondering. I was like,
yeah. We were talking about the multiple paths and having to go back and get them, things like that. So
yeah, that's right. Because she did the first episode is the only thing I remember that you could go see Toad or you could go see whatever the prince's name is. I can't remember.
Even though
we just played it.
Yeah, it was one of those choshes where the route changes depending on who you see first.
Yeah, totally. Because I remember that specifically because I chose to go see Toad first and realized that, oh, wait, if I'd have gone the other way, I would have, would have changed. Mm-hmm. It would have changed the fate of that guy's character anyway.
Yep.
we wrapped that up last night and watched the trailer for, apparently I missed it. I remember seeing an announcement trailer for Wolf Among Us 2, which was basically just a nice little teaser with a logo. And I thought that's all that existed. But then I saw another one when I was going to look for it last night. And I was like, wait, this is a much longer trailer than what I saw of who it involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, wow, because it involved Dorothy the Scarecrow and the Tin Man.
Mm.
And I was, oh, okay. I had no idea. But yeah, so and the date that it was given, and I don't remember how long ago this video was published, probably a year ago. The date was given was this year, 2023. I don't know that that's been pushed back. I want to say it was, but I can't remember if it was or not. So wrap that up. I played. I looked up on Game Pass and played a couple of other games like Wreckfest from Bugbear Games, I believe is the name of them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Demolition Derby car crashing game. I was all right with it for a while, and it didn't hold my attention.
Got bored quick.
It's just the trying to move through the different things. The wrecks weren't flashy enough for me, you know.
Not burnout level.
I was looking for burnout level, and it wasn't there. I was looking for something to like destroy my car. Of course, we got dangerous driving, which I could probably load that up and get my burnout level, but. But yeah, that wasn't holding me. We tried that Bramble game. I will say the art style of the game, even the play style and everything else, looks really good. It's got a very hand. It's not. I mean, it's digital, but part of it looks like it's hand animated type stuff. Whether it be models or clay or something like that.
Well, like claymation type? Yeah,
kind of stop motion a little bit. It seems to be developed in a way to give it a real look to it, or at least this was made and shot with a camera. You know, we modeled this ground. You know, everything looks, it has that look to it.
Mm-hmm.
But man, slow going and just did not hold my attention. I'd just gotten off of playing Wolf Among Us 2.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe come at it at a different angle to, you know, really give it the opportunity that it needs.
Yeah, because, Wolf Among Us isn't exactly fast paced, but it's a good, interesting story that holds your interest. The story is what holds your interest in that thing, but Bramble, not as much.
Thar66 says, I stopped playing at the dark area with platforming. It was so bad. One fall deaths, just gave up. Easy to do. Yeah, easy to do with the Game Pass game. Exactly. It was Game Pass, and as soon as I could feel like this is not doing it for me, I was done. You know, I could just back out. I think I loaded up another game afterwards. I think I went through to see what other Telltale games they had.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got, or at least I own the two Batman games that were done.
Mm.
I never played those. They have the entire Walking Dead season, all the seasons and the little mini series and other episodes of Walking Dead that Telltale did. They have all of those. on Game Pass. And I know I played season one and season two. I don't know that I did season three or the final season. So that's a possibility of jumping into that, although it'd be the second time I played through, or at least the second time I've tried to play through the first season of Walking Dead. I know I got through it that one time, but yeah, I don't know. And what I don't know, though, is like Tales from the Borderlands, I thought got a lot of good response. I don't know. I think they did a Game of Thrones game, but I haven't found that anywhere. I think maybe the licensing ran out on that. And then I know that they've done The Expanse. So I was just kind of seeing what else was out there from Telltale that are there. I'm curious how the Batman games were. I'd like to play those. I never did. Enemy Within and just the Batman was the other one. They did two of those. A little bit tougher for me to jump into Tales from the Borderlands. Probably not for you, because you probably are familiar with the world, the characters, and everything else from Tales.
Yeah, but
more so than I would be.
Familiar with the storyline, probably so, but if I'm thinking Borderlands, I'm thinking shooting and action and fast-paced type of thing.
But you're still dealing with the characters from that setting. Mm-hmm. So you're still dealing with, oh God, the character names. What are they called? Siren one of? No.
Hunters. Treasure Hunters. The Sirens were a few of the characters were sirens, Lilith and guys like that. Yeah, folks like that. Yeah.
So like you're dealing with that. You're dealing with Claptrap, obviously. I know he's in there. You're dealing with the dude with the face that's on his whatever, the main guy.
Handsome Jack.
Yeah. Handsome Jack. You got him in there. There's locations. There's characters that are all from the game, but I am not familiar with them.
Is there action though?
Oh, I'm sure there is, but not shooting action, probably.
Then, it is not picking up my interest. Okay, it's not, the story for the thing is interesting, but what got me into Borderlands is the action, the shooting, the adventure that way, mm-hmm. and playing with others, all doing that. The story was nice, but it wasn't enough to like.
Well, yeah, but it's a Telltale game. This is how they, you know, they took the Borderlands license and said, we're going to build a narrative adventure out of this, one where you make your own choices. There probably are action bits like there was with Wolf Among Us, where QuickTime events basically is what it turns into. But, you know, you make your choices and go through the story or whatever it is. And I'm fine with that in Walking Dead setting where... Well, that's a good point. I wasn't familiar. The only thing familiar with Walking Dead is like, you know, zombies. So I wasn't familiar with any of those characters, but they grew on me playing the first season, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Wolf Among Us has some familiarity just because they're based on fairy tales, fables.
Yeah.
Borderlands is not something I would know too much of because I didn't play a lot of Borderlands to know those characters or the people that they're talking about. But I've already set the precedent that I didn't need to do that with Walking Dead, and I enjoyed that, right? So maybe I could enjoy Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
Batman, I'm going to know all those and be fine with that. You know, it's a familiar setting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones would be too, but I don't know that was a thing. Expanse is one that's not. I haven't watched The Expanse. I would like to get in on that, but I have not watched any of The Expanse or read any of the books that it's based on either. So that would be another one. So let's see. Finished up Wolf Among Us. And I took my Warlock through the Lightfall campaign of Destiny 2. Okay. Finished that up this morning. I might do my Titan tomorrow. The new season starts Tuesday. Plus, Tuesday we get our look at Final Shape, and it's their big showcase on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I've been bringing my iPad to work, but I'll be bringing my iPad to work that day so I can watch the showcase and see what's going on.
Well, here's the hoping it's not disappointing.
Honestly, Bungie is very good at this. The thing we're getting on Tuesday, where they preview things, Bungie's really good at that. They were good at it with Halo. They're really good at it with Destiny as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're good at building anticipation and hype and getting you excited for something. They're really good at that. You have to remember, though, that a lot of times they underdeliver on whatever it is, on that hype that you've built, mm-hmm. you know? Going back to look at some of their old vid docs and things after, long after things have come out, you look at that and you're like, man, we were so excited for that. What a disappointment that turned out to be, you know? But they're really, really good at that. So, I mean, I'm in for that. I'm in for the hype of it. I'm in to see, hopefully they're going to reveal a new subclass for us, whatever that final powers, the powers that we're going to get mm-hmm. from Final Shape. They will reveal some of that. They'll talk a little bit about the new season that hits that same day as well. They'll reveal the collector's edition, maybe, I guess, and what you get with it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. But that's happening on Tuesday. Took my character that might do my Titan again. Finished up Max Payne this morning. Max Payne 3,
okay.
Yeah. So just to kind of put a bow on that, there was a certain point in that game that I stopped playing, and I don't remember where it was. But there was a certain point where nothing was familiar. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so you've been through the entire game, right?
I have now, okay. Yeah.
Before or after Max shaves his head?
Had to have been after.
Had to be at the point where you stopped playing beforehand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I remember the shave head scene.
Right.
And then getting to the, like I said, that little town where he's wearing the Hawaiian shirt. Mm-hmm. I remember that. And likely that was a point where I said, okay, I'm going to stop there and I'll come back to it. And I never did.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure everything after that was.
Yeah. So,
because I'm
going off of memory now, because I remember he lost too many people, and he got to a point where he, you know, shaved his head and went full rogue at that point.
Yeah,
just yeah.
Yeah.
No restrictions left. He was just going to go full out from that point on.
It was man, the I love it to death. I really do. Maybe it's a love hate thing. I don't know, but. It's real short on substance, man. It's real short on substance. The writing in it, by any other measure, would be horrible. But they are delivering you this gritty cop.
What you
talks
expect.
To himself.
Yeah.
Has a whole lot of inner monologue going on right out of a, you know... a more modern film noir type thing where mm-hmm. he's a detective and he's trying to, you know, and he talks about how he finds his troubles at the end of a bottle or at the bottom of a bottle and all this. It was just great.
Bottom of a bottle, end of a gun.
I loved every single line that came out. I was like, this is great. Cause it was so cheesy and the delivery was so serious. So I love every, God, it was, and what I realized was that's the entire script. Mm-hmm. The entire script is basically line, line, line. Not paragraph of dialogue. Line, 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 you know, of these two, maybe three sentences you're done.
Yeah.
You know, even if that. Just real like, oh, God. And that was, and that
one
is.
Little, yeah, one little quip, back to shooting.
And it is in, it's every single time they spoke. And it was great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, one quip, back to shooting, because there's a lot of shooting in this game. There's a whole bunch of action
so
and bullets and everything in this thing.
It was so corny and cheesy, but so good.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to remember
with what
the,
they were trying to deliver. They nailed it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember you try to save. I think it's Passos's girlfriend.
His wife,
girlfriend. His fiance. Mm-hmm. His fiance
could be his fiance because she's pregnant. Well. Doesn't matter, but yeah.
Yeah. Say Passos' fiance, I think it's fiance, but yeah, from that attack in the courtyard with the bus.
Yeah.
The bus battle there.
Because she's driving the bus shooting as you're going.
And then that building that with all the
C4.
All the C4 laced everywhere, and you get to get out of that one. Using it to your advantage, of course.
I know.
All that. And then that scene with the doctor harvesting, so to speak.
Yeah, the organ harvesting. I played that part this morning when I was getting ready to come in.
And so do you think the doctor got his just desserts after that?
I'm sure with, what's his name, Salado? I can't remember what his name was.
I don't remember, yeah, but he was in a pretty bad
shape.
Because
he was the one who's like, I'm going to take
care of him. The previous villain that was in bad shape, and Max just let him do what he did. So
that one scene where Max, I don't remember what the point, like what the setup was, but for whatever reason, you jump through a window. You're in an office building. You jump through a window. You land on some kind of like mail cart, and it starts going. You know, you land on that, and it move. You know, it's the momentum pushes you along. Of course, it all goes into slow motion at that time, and you're firing out the
bullet
window at these guys across the street who are firing into the window there, and you're shooting every single one of them as the cart moves across in slow motion. I was just like, this is so good.
Is this the decrepit building or the police station?
Yeah,
okay, yeah, you're fighting the police, yeah.
Yeah, you're in the police station, and that's when you do it, and you're shooting them across the street at another building as you're going. And when you're riding the train, and they pull up beside you in the train, and you're shooting between trains to do that. And then he does some stupid move. In moving trains, he jumps from one window through another window of another moving train because that one is about to hit some kind of end-of-the-track thing.
It's necessary.
Yeah, it's totally necessary. But there's also these pylons going in between, and
Well, better time it right.
I know. He totally does in whatever that fashion. And, of course, when you land on the other side, slow motion so you can pick the guys off while you're on the ground as you pick the three guys off there. And just the setups, the everything was exactly as it should be. And the ending was just like you're done, and then you get a little bit of a little bit of epilogue.
Yeah.
And then it's just him on the beach, and you're done. That's it.
Yeah. So like the rest of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So like the rest of the game. A little quip, and there you go. Next part.
Totally. It was just, I don't know. It was fun. I don't plan to go back through it probably ever again, but it was fun. I think they went, and you know what? Maybe it takes me going back into Max Payne 1 or 2 to see if that fits the criteria.
Yeah.
But it felt like the dialogue way over the top. It felt like that scene in Metal Gear Solid 4 when they had just thrown everything at Snake. You know, just you should be dead at this point. You should not be crawling through the
microwave tunnel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like they just kept throwing everything at this dude. Just massively taken all, I mean, just, which is exactly what the game is.
Isn't there always some long traveling part in those things? Like, we had the microwave tunnel in 4. You had the, both that ladder in
There was
Snake
the ladder,
Yeah. Well, how much of the theme song could have played through that entire climb up?
It was a long climb.
Yeah.
That was a loading area, I think, is what that was. Because it's loading the next level, I think, when you're going up, I think. I have nothing but love for Max Payne 3. I think it was fantastic. It was great.
I had fun
with it. Glad I finished it.
Did you get the golden gun?
I got one golden gun.
One? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember which one it was, but I remember picking up parts, especially in that police station. I picked up like 4 or 5 parts.
Yeah.
And every time I picked one up, it was like 1 of 3. And I was like, because I knew in other levels I had picked up other golden parts.
Yeah.
And I just thought, come on. Eventually I did get a 3 out of 3. I can't remember what gun it was.
Probably. I'm guessing it was something you barely ever use.
Yeah.
It was like a dual Beretta's a rifle, I think a shotgun. I got the parts for. I wasn't actively looking for them really.
Either.
So I think it, like here and there, I picked up some.
I especially wasn't looking towards the further I got near the end of the game. I was just more of, all right, let's go. You know, tired of it just because. I mean, it's 14 chapters, and this morning I started chapter 12, which is Act 3, basically. 12, 13, and 14 is what I started, and 12, 13, and 14 are just like, God, how much more can you do?
Yeah.
How much more? I just blew up a building. What was 12? 12 was...
You were on the roof of a building fighting some mercenaries, and I think the roof collapsed from the explosion.
Yeah, I think that was then chapter 13, though. Because 14's the airport.
Okay, 14's the airport.
14's airport. 13, I think, is that building that we were talking about. And then 12...
Was the train in 12?
No, train was in... 14.
Train was 14, okay.
Yeah, because you're at the airport, and the train is like the you know, the...
Yeah,
terminal thing. Airport, you're going from terminal.
Airport, terminal, the hangar, dealing with the police. One of the captains, I think.
Yeah.
There, then you had to go after someone else down the runway.
Actually, I tell you what. You know what?
Yeah.
Chapter 12 is the building.
Okay.
Chapter 13, you get arrested and go to the police station.
And you got to fight for the prison to the rest
right.
of the rest
that's
of the station.
The police
that's
station.
Right.
Then 14's the airport.
14's the airport. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what it was. But man, that was great. That was fantastic. And yeah. and I didn't out of anything other than knowing I was done with it. Once it was done, I uninstalled it because I was like, I'm not going back to this.
Yeah. This reminds me a title that I need to finish, something that you showed me back at the GT South days. Wet.
Oh, you never finished that?
I never finished Wet.
Wet's good.
Yeah.
Wet's got some great moments in
yeah, that. It's that Antonio Banderas Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah,
type,
there's not a PC version. Yeah. That was only console, wasn't it?
Console, I believe, yeah. But
I can find it
PS3.
Anywhere.
It was on PS3 when I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I could it was on 3. And you know something else I noticed, because I was talking about I've played Max Payne 3, but I don't remember what. I was sitting in one of the living room there that where the big TV, you know, where we used to record
yeah.
shows.
Yeah.
I got those shelves in there, mostly that have, like, you know, movies and stuff, but I also have some video games there, and mm-hmm. I was just kind of doing one of those things where I'm staring off thinking about something else, but then I noticed, I was like, oh, look, Max Payne 3. Oh, on the 360, that, cause I still have the box from the 360, and I was like,
right.
that must be, that's where my save is, that's where I played it, was right there, and then I was like, I still have that box. I still have the Max Payne 3 box.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking at all my other 360 games. I still have Split Second. I still have...
Split Second is a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Split Second is a pleasure to play.
Yeah.
It really is.
I've still got the first Red Dead Redemption on there, on that shelf. Kane and Lynch. Oh, God. What else was on there? Some others that I was just like, oh, yeah, I got that and that and that. Mm-hmm. So...
In my case, it's... I still got that. I've got that. When did I get this?
Mm-hmm.
Where did I get this? Have I played this? You ever find two of them?
Two of the same game?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, yeah. Totally, I have. I totally have. By the way, something else that I wanted to mention. So, after looking up the trailer for Wolf Among Us 2,
right,
I noticed something about like here's a compilation of parts of video games that are amazing, and it went back to Uncharted 2. Showing a little clip of Uncharted 2, and I'm looking at that, and I'm like, man, that game looks old. that game looks really old. PlayStation 3. PlayStation 3,
mm-hmm.
which was the same year, or at least, you know, the not necessarily the same year, but the parallel to that was the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Max Payne 3 was released on the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm playing Max Payne 3 on the PC. I'm pretty sure it is not, you know, one of these things where it's they didn't overhaul the engine or anything.
Right.
It's probably got a little bit sharper graphics and things like that, mm-hmm. but it's not too far from what you were doing on the 360.
Mm-hmm.
That game looked good for a 360 title.
Another thing about
I get that it's Rockstar,
mm-hmm.
and their games have a certain polish to them that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I mean, Naughty Dog is they're no. You know, slouches when it comes to that. But looking at Uncharted 2
mm-hmm.
and seeing, you know, I could see every single joint on Nathan Drake's body. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I could see where his hand was connected to his arm, where his elbow was connected to his other part of his arm, his shoulder
mm-hmm.
connected. You know, I could see all those.
You can see how the polygons lined up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was very polygon as well. It was real polygon as far as in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's okay because the story held it, the combat held it. The game really outshone its own graphics, even though it, for that time it was good. But, man, going back to Max Payne 3, I was like, wow, that's pretty good for a 360 game.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying that what I need to do is take the PS3 and hook it up to my set because the HD is clear now. I have a mm-hmm. better setup now, so I can hook up a better I can get the best resolution possible right now. So
yeah.
I need to take my PS3 and hook it up to it and see how Max Payne looks on it and compare, because I've been playing at lower resolution for so long that yeah. suddenly the uptick.
The one I haven't
to
gone
higher
back
resolution
to,
is new to me. So
you know, I just finished 3. I played one, Max Payne 1, at least twice, maybe more than that. Mm-hmm. Max Payne 2, though, I've only played one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which I'm glad that it got a mention in Max Payne 3. He mentioned mm-hmm. Mona.
Yeah.
And that little segment there. But and then Baseball Bat Boy showed up in yeah. one of the TV things, yeah. which is
Captain Baseball Bat Boy,
which is from the first game as well. Mm-hmm. So
is there a compilation?
No.
A 1, 2, and 3 pack or what? Yeah.
There may be a Steam bundle of those.
Yeah.
But there is not. Well, actually, no, because they are not. Remedy did the first two, and then Rockstar did the third.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I don't believe that they have. I'm not sure exactly where the property sits, to be honest with you. But those first two games, I think, are still Remedy, and
Remedy,
then
yeah.
three is still is three Rockstar, is Rock,
three,
I believe.
Three is Rockstar, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Rockstar's logo and Social Club and all that stuff is all over it. I do remember that part.
Yeah, but there may be a bundle out there on one of these storefronts where it's like you get these two and you also get this one as well, that sort of thing.
I mean, it would be nice to have a compilation like 1, 2, 3, the whole Max Payne experience.
Yeah. I would love it if they do a fourth. That would be great. There was, again, looking back on this, it was like, man, they really, really, really nailed this as far as what they were going for. A little bit, they nailed it a little too much on what they put him through.
Yeah, because I'm about to say that should be a finale.
I know. In Max Payne 1 and Max Payne 2, I can't tell you who you felt like in that. But in Max Payne 3, you feel like John McClane just falling out of the, you know, falling mm-hmm. out of the windows and getting just throwing everything at you mm-hmm. and you survive it somehow. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 1 and 2 were really good. 1 was great. 2 leaned heavily again into that noir action type mm-hmm. thing. And then 3 put the noir setting, but gave you a much more explosion-y, action-y.
Are you going to fight in this? Yeah. It's a.
You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
The first two were not necessarily. They were subtle in a sense of. Look, the first one was all drug use.
Mm-hmm.
The first game was nothing but drug use. What was the
right.
Valkyrie? It was all drugs and drugs and drugs.
Yeah.
The second one was this, like, drugs and a love story.
mm-hmm.
And then the third one is explosions and booze.
Well, drugs and all of them because, well, painkillers.
Yeah, well,
but,
no,
yeah,
no, painkillers.
Yeah, but this was like...
There was a tonal shift in the set pieces, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it, not in the writing or anything else, but in the set. It was just, I don't know. I keep going on about it, and we're way over time.
Yeah.
When we come back, I don't think that I've played anything else other than that. I think that's it, which is pretty good, mm-hmm. Given. I may start Control tomorrow. I may jump into Titanfall 2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what I'll do, but I may just...
You play it when you play it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Here's music from a game called Shadow Gambit, just recently released. The track on this was called Must Have Been the Wind. We'll be right back with more Fin Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In Game Chat. That's music from a game called Gourd. Yeah.
As in bull or drinking vessel?
I don't know.
Let's see if we can figure this out by the music. Gourd.
G-O-R-D.
Oh.
Yeah.
Neither one. Okay.
I think it's maybe a Viking thing. I don't know. But, oh goodness, we got the phone calls coming in. Let's go to the phones and talk to Biloxi Gambler up first. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, you're doing pretty good. How are you?
Right. I'm doing well. I usually don't call till after Chris and after you've done what you played this
morning. Yeah, that may be Chris on that other line calling in, but we'll see. You have the floor. You go ahead.
Okay. Well, on RJ, I play Road to the Show all the time. I get called up from the minors pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't play pitcher and I don't play catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. I'm lazy. and when you're pitcher or catcher, you're involved in every play. I just want to be out there in right field watching the grass grow, hope nobody hits it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe looking at, commenting on, I wonder what kind of fertilizer they're using. Something like that. I just wanted a scholarship. So of course, I didn't get one.
Yeah.
Anyway, because I can't play baseball. But Soldier Boy, he called first thing talking about slot machines. You know, slot machines used to be, they were outlawed in many, many states.
So were pinball machines.
I mean, no, not slot machines, pinball machines. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Pinball machines were outlawed because they were gambling on them.
They were. There's plenty of documentaries and things about that. But yeah, they were considered a game of chance, and that was considered gambling. And so there are pictures of where people would go into these places and smash up the pinball machines like they were kegs of alcohol. Mm-hmm. Like it was, that is outlawed. We're going to break them. It took court action and someone to say, no, this is a game of skill. And the way they did that was telling them that I can make that ball go wherever I want it to go. And so, if you want me to hit that ramp five times or hit that lane, there probably weren't ramps at the time.
Yeah.
But if you want me to do that, I can show you how I can make that happen.
Oh, I was just looking at this little blurb. You said pinball was banned beginning in the early 40s until 1976 in New York City.
Yeah, I don't know about that. It took that long, but maybe it did. I don't remember.
In some districts, yeah. It did. Yeah.
Likely, yes.
Yeah, New York Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia was responsible for the ban, believing that it robbed school children of their hard-earned nickels and dimes.
Hmm.
And then,
wow.
All this, I don't know how many states now. It's over 40 states have legalized gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, y'all were mentioning Gottlieb and Midway, mm-hmm. and also Bali is another one.
Yep.
Yeah.
That makes I don't know if they still they may still make pinball machines, but they make a lot of slot machines. They are mm-hmm. all over the casino.
Yeah.
And I have a favorite manufacturer that I play at, and of course I'm not saying it on the radio. But because then they'll change the chip in it. But because they're all computerized now.
They are. It's all based on they've got a as far as the slots are concerned, it's programmed to go off at a certain amount of play. Right.
Yeah, I think it counts the money too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, it's been this many turns since I've given a win. And
well, they're all connected though centrally. So
probably,
Saturday,
yeah, exactly.
Or a holiday, it's going to be a little tighter.
Uh huh.
So sometimes the slots are looser than others. They used
that's why I like my table games, man.
Absolutely. See, the only time I play slots, and you know, I've got people that go with me. Just, you know, one, they rotate. There's like five different girls that go with me. They're all his girlfriends. They got married families, all that stuff, and they go with me. They're kind of, because nobody wants me to go by myself. And they look out for me. So they'll play slots while I'm at the dice table or the baccarat table.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the dice table, when my chips start turning to pretty colors, that's when, you know, some little 25-year-old, you know, bikini model in a way too little bit of a dress will squeeze in and say, "Well, you're good at this. Can you teach me how to play?" And I look at all the other old men and we laugh. And then that's when my guard dog leaves her machine and comes over there to divide things up, you know, let her know. Because she's talking to me about going to dinner. And I'm like, "Man, I ain't going to dinner." Of course, I don't tell her that in front of the
right.
girl she's running off.
Right.
And but anyway, she runs her off. That way, I don't have to be mean, and because I'm a nice guy, but I know what the only reason she's there is because of the money that's in my chip tray.
Right.
Yep. The only reason she's there is I didn't lose 40 pounds and my hair didn't grow back in, and I'm not 40 years younger all of a sudden.
Exactly. Where was she when your chips weren't that? When you didn't have those colorful
that's
chips?
Right. Yeah. And when
exactly.
the chips are gone, she'll be gone, and when she takes the money, she'll be gone. But anyway. So they're guard dogs for me, and like I say, they're all married. But you know, if you know the girls, their husbands are glad to be shut with them for a couple of days. You know?
And,
oh yeah, you're going to Biloxi with Biloxi Gambler? Go! That's great. Anyway, I can play some video games, watch a football game, do something. But anyway, so the pinball makers have pivoted to the slot machines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that, but they're, you know, still around, still in business.
Well, there's way more casinos than there are pinball halls, if you want to call
nowadays,
them that.
There are, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. There's
I
way,
mean,
yeah.
It is unbelievable.
Which is why if they make a machine or they get an order for an amount of machines from whatever, you know, there's way more money in it making slots than there are making pinball tables.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, I mentioned earlier that I do have a favorite manufacturer that I don't say, but because you know, I like I say, 10% of my play is with my babysitter. That's what I call it. And because they make me do stupid stuff like eat and drink. I mean, not eat and drink, but eat and sleep.
Okay.
And I got the drinking down. But they, I play with them a little bit, you know, to be social and stuff. And then they get mad that I'm winning. But they are learning from me because
yeah.
when I'll stop at a machine, I'll go, "Oh." And then she go, "Why'd you pick that machine?" It's because of the manufacturer.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, there's manufacturers that make machines that pay off better than others.
Yeah. I'm sure, yeah.
And that's why I'm keeping that secret, not putting it on the radio, or that will change.
Perfectly fine. I'll talk to you later about which. I'll talk to you later about which manufacturer that is.
Off the air.
See you
later.
See you, man. I tell you what, don't play any of them.
That's the best advice. Exactly.
Or play dice. Now, I can teach you how to play dice real quick, and you'll make money. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
See you, man. Bye bye.
Take care now.
Let's go to the other line. You're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's Chris.
Hey, man, what's going on?
The same as usual, playing more Diablo.
Yeah, boy, I wanted to get it has nothing to do with Diablo. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll get to it after we got your phone call. We're going to go to a break afterwards, and then when we come back, I'll jump into it. But I just have to talk about, I mean, it's August, but I have to talk about what a year it's been. As far as gaming is concerned, and what a year we have left for that as well. But you're mentioning Diablo 4 still going good for you, I guess.
Oh yeah, I'm having a blast playing as a druid. The build I'm working on is a lot of people have built and used. You have ultimate skills and everything, and I'm so powerful I don't have to use any healing potions. And 99% of the time, I don't even have to use my ultimate skill. Just a couple basic attacks, and I'm wiping the floor with everything. It's so much fun.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned that difficulty will be won't scale enough for you? to keep you entertained?
Well, I mean, the enemies are kind of difficult and all, but I just you have so many different buffs where you swap back and forth and do different types of attacks, and it refills your health and everything and all. It's nuts, you know. And I've been really enjoying it, but I'm playing at a lower difficulty, but the enemies are still my same level. But just grinding and getting gear and everything and making money and salvaging the things for parts and stuff. But, yeah, it's fun.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's just all about modifying.
It's all about that loot.
Yeah, getting loot and using your resources in the best way possible. You know, combine this and this and get this and have at it.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember that with some of the games I played before. Yeah.
What else? Anything? Just Diablo? Anything else?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Except for when I'm about to go on vacation at the end of next week, I'll be playing something else on the Switch. But yeah, I'll be a break from that for a while.
All right.
You playing with we playing with friends or soloing it right
well,
now?
Well, right now I'm soloing by myself. But whenever my buddy, you know, when Mason can get on, I'll play with him. At night, but he might have some time this weekend sometime since he's got the house to himself. So. Mm. I'll end up helping him grind as well since we're the same class, so I can look out for items he might be interested in and pass them along if I find something good.
Mm-hmm. Is your difficulty scale up when you have partners with you?
A little bit, but not much. But I might be able to help him grind some more and get better experience. You know, I believe I could take on the third difficulty in the game where you know the enemies give you 100% bonus to experience. So. I could probably help him grind out real quick and get better gear and just everything all around, just have some more fun and, you know, boost his time for leveling and stuff.
Yeah, because I think I've had that same situation with Warframe, I believe. It was like there was some missions that we could not get done solo. No matter how many attempts we've tried, we just weren't leveled up enough.
Yeah, I had one. I was running through Destiny, the Lightfall campaign on my Warlock. This morning, it was the next to last mission, and I remember running that this morning. I reached out to our clan. I reached out to anybody else. And I was like, can you guys help me on this? Because the boss in it, any other time I have run this, I had trouble with it the first time I did it on my Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But any time afterwards, after I'd beaten the campaign and I went back in there and played it again, because it's a time trial, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time trial for it. Breezed through it. Going through it again, I was like, I died like 4 or 5 times. And I said, can somebody please? And the difficulty scales. So it should be it should be easier when you are solo. Adding more people makes it more difficult.
Right, right.
Not the case. I added one person from the clan and we knocked it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I just could not do it. But it does scale. Mm-hmm. But it was so much easier with two rather than it was with one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like I was saying, I've been through that, going through that situation. Like, I don't know how, well, probably just not familiar with the game enough, but I don't know how much more I can level up my character on this thing. So I've got to have someone with me because the thing said, okay, level 40 to 50. Wait, what? Level 40 to 50. The highest I've ever gotten here was level 30 and it resets. At 30, if I want to upgrade anything else, I have to go back to 1 to get back up to 30 again. So either I'm missing something or I'm going to have to get help with this thing. But in order to progress the story, I've got to get through this this spot on the map, and I've got to do it with someone else. So that's why I was asking about scaling with other people in Diablo. Because you say you have such a... Yeah,
well, on each individual player's side, the enemies scale to your level. Unless you're in a higher difficulty where there's like 20 levels above you, and that's what we did. We had some other buddies that he plays with that are both level 70, and they were taking us through a nightmare dungeon in the third difficulty where the enemies were like 73, 74, and we're both around 45. And we might be able to take on one enemy every once in a blue moon if there's nothing else coming at us, but most of the time we had to sit back and bid our time and stay out of the fights. And we got, you know, leveled up quickly like crazy and dropping all kind of gear that we said, oh, yeah, that looks good. I can't use it yet, but that's awesome and stuff. But, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, that's part of looting. Get stuff that you can't use yet. You got to grind to use the stuff that you got. And then by the time you grind to get the item, you've found something even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Well, Chris, we appreciate hearing from you as always, man. And you're going on vacation next week, you said, or the week after?
The end of the last
Labor Day
week of
Labor
August.
Day weekend.
Yeah, the last week of August. The beginning of the last week of August.
Okay,
I think it's the 28th or something like that.
Right, it goes right into Labor Day weekend. So, All right, man. Well, then we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see y'all later, then.
All right, dude. Take care now.
All right, bye.
Bye, bye. Yeah, we got a break coming up, and we're going to take that break, and then when we come back, maybe we'll jump into some of the news. See what?
Labor Day. I just keep forgetting that holiday for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll jump into. I'll try and run down some of the news. There really, like I said, there really wasn't a lot. But
game wise, just drama, really.
Yeah, and yeah. There's no point in going over some of that. Although there was a police officer from this state, Alabama, who was arrested and fired for apparently stealing Pokemon cards.
Yeah, stick that on your resume, kid.
Ah, boy. Anyway, here is... I wanted to get music from the sequel. Couldn't find it, so I got music from the first one. Mm. A game called Moving Out. Mm. There's a sequel called Moving Out 2 that came out this week, but I couldn't get music for it. This is the main theme of Moving Out. It is not Billy Joel. Anyway, we will be back right after this with more of In-Game Chat. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. A little over a month away from October when we start throwing in the scary game music.
Mm-hmm.
This, the track of this is called The Massacre. It is from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. That came out this week. It's on Game Pass. It's one of those... You know, monsters versus survivors type of thing. Kind of like
Death by Daylight or...
Like Friday the 13th, Dead by Daylight. Yeah. Except this one is a group. It's groups on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a group of killers, and then there's a group of survivors or escapers or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So, whereas in the previous games, it was always one versus four.
Mm-hmm.
This one can be... Well, it can be. I think it can be. I think it's always four versus four. You just may have bots on one team and some on the other. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. I don't know why. I loaded up Speedrunners and played a little bit of Speedrunners.
Well, okay.
Last night. I am horrible now at that game. I used to be fantastic at it.
Yes. You played it constantly. Yeah.
I know. And then I played it on the Xbox while I was sitting there, and I thought, oh, man, this is going to be fun. First off, it was hard to find anybody. When I did find somebody, whew, I am beyond rusty.
Yeah.
You know,
what, 2 years?
God, it's probably been longer than that since I played Speedrunners.
Goodness, yeah. So I remember picking it up on a PlayStation. There was some bundle with all the extras and features in there. Yeah. So yeah, I picked that up.
It's been a while since I've played it, and I've some of it started coming back to me towards the end there, but it was no fun. I mean, I'm sure I could play against the computer or something like that, but I wanted multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And
As you said, you couldn't find anybody, yeah.
Well, I could. I found a team of three. One guy disconnected, but the other guy who was in there was very, very helpful in making sure that at least we could kind of race before he just, you know, moved on.
Kept it interesting, yeah.
Yeah, he kept it so that I could. I was like, oh, I'm trying. I'm doing my thing. I'm trying to get over there to you so we can get the race. The wall jumping and all this. It was not going well. It was horrible.
Yeah.
God, it was so bad. So, yeah, I need to. Maybe I'll load that up on Steam again and try some of that because I remember being really good at that.
Yeah, we do. We were playing in the studio after show before.
God,
yeah,
it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Nabokov fan showing up at the chat room. Hey, buddy. Glad to have you here. Nabokov is the one that made our Discord channel and helps us out with that. So, always glad to see him here. Really what I wanted to get to was I was thinking about, and I don't remember when I was thinking about this, but I guess I was thinking, ahead of what's coming out. And, oh no, it was reading reviews of Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the lineage of Baldur's Gate. I know there was Baldur's Gate and there was Baldur's Gate 2. How do I know that? Because there is a Baldur's Gate 3. That's how I know that. I am not into those games, but I am heavily interested in this game. Only for the amount that it's not hype that's through the roof. I mean, it's legitimately reviewed through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is reviewing amazingly. And not just from your professional game review writer people or any of that. I'm talking across the board.
Yeah.
Of your Joe Schmoes playing it and your reviewers playing it. High praise. So massive praise.
Yeah, so the game is good enough so that regular casual gamers are inspired to write something about it and let the world know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I feel like I could probably enjoy it, but the scale of this thing is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Just with, I was watching IGN's review, and he said there's about three acts, 40 hours each act. He spent about 130 or more hours playing the game. And that's, you can then go back and play through it again, making different choices and playing as somebody else and getting their backstory and everything else. The reviewer, was applauding the fact that almost every single person you run into, whether it be on a quest or just walking around the streets of the hub town that you get into in Act 3, everybody's got unique voices. He feels like there probably are people, doing multiple characters.
Yeah.
But however it is done so well, he can't tell that this person's also, which is good. You hire voice actors who can do that. That's exactly why they're voice actors.
Multiple voices,
Because they can do multiple voices. But the amount of characters that are in the game are huge. Even people that you may not meet on your first playthrough. Even people you may not meet while you're even playing the game multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
But should you meet them, they have voice lines, dialogue, everything is there. Probably a backstory. It is just so fleshed out and, like I said, well-reviewed. Half the time of me playing Max Payne and Destiny today and throughout the week. I almost hit a button there. I hope I didn't turn off our stream. Mm-hmm. Throughout the week, I would see my little Steam notification, so-and-so started playing Baldur's Gate 3. It's not that seeing that is pushing me towards playing it. It's just that I knew this game was coming out. I didn't hear a lot of people talking about this game coming out. I don't remember. I remember seeing like little trailers and things like, hey, it's being delayed here. We're going to put some extra time into it. It's been in like an early access thing for a very long time. And it wasn't something that, and I kind of hate that I didn't see that, but it just wasn't something that was, that I was picking up on my radar, thinking that likely because of that, nobody else was picking it up on their radar. Wrong. Completely, I was completely wrong on that. So my point being is that what a year this has been for, and I'll just say game lovers of any genre. it's been stretched. And what a year that is left to come for this. We talk about, I can't even remember what came out in the first of the year. For me, it starts with Street Fighter VI and then Diablo IV. It starts with Tears of the Kingdom, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. You got a brand new mainline Zelda game. You got a brand new sequel to Street Fighter VI. You're getting a brand new sequel to Mortal Kombat. I know I've gone over this before, but I just keep adding to it because I keep remembering these things. You got a brand new mainline Diablo that you don't normally get. It's not every year you get another Diablo game. You got Baldur's Gate 3, which is just kicking the doors off of everything as far as just being this amazing and, I should say, like, in-depth game. I mean, you talk about your money's worth. There you go. $60 or $70. I don't know what the price of the game is, but you're getting a whole lot for your money if you want to put that time into it. So there's that. You are getting Starfield, a brand new Bethesda game. The RPG, if you want to call it, you know, whatever that game is, but still massive, massive, massive preloads already available for the thing. You're getting a brand new Assassin's Creed game, which I understand Assassin's Creed probably not a big deal, but in their shift to go to a different direction, this is the year we're getting it. You're getting a brand new Spider-Man game coming up later on for the consoles and eventually for PC. Just a fantastic year for gaming. One of the best that I think we have likely had in a very long time. Just a phenomenal year. Mm-hmm. Just a phenomenal year for gaming. So yeah, that's something that I was thinking of when I was looking at Baldur. I was like, look at all this stuff, man. Especially if you're in, like, I know Diablo 4 and Baldur's Gate 3 don't really share a lot as far as mechanics and play or whatever it is. I know they don't, but still, I think it would be fair to say that your player base for Diablo 3 probably has a lot of carryover for your player base into Baldur's Gate or Diablo 4 carry over into Baldur's Gate 3. Maybe, maybe not. I could be completely wrong on that, but I feel like that's the case. Just like Street Fighter 6, you probably got some bleed over from Mortal Kombat 1 just coming out. You know, those genres stick there. And I know Diablo 4 and Baldur's Gate 3 are not the same genre, but there probably is some overlap in the fan base. Pretty good amount. There might, and see, there might be overlap from Baldur's Gate 3 into Starfield. It doesn't feel like there would be, only given the sense of the setting for Star... I shook your camera, I'm sorry. The setting for Starfield and that sort of thing. I would say if it was a Skyrim thing, I would say, yeah, totally. If you're getting another Skyrim game, then there probably would be overlap from... Just because of the whole setting...
It's still
setting,
adventure, right?
RPG, you know, role-playing game. Likely. I go by this, you know, I don't necessarily go by the genre as much as I'm going by the setting here, the tone of what they are. And so, I mean, I'm this is just me throwing that speculation out there. Not saying that any of these are going to do bad at
no,
all.
No. It's just...
I just figured the overlap would be more so if it was something in a Skyrim setting, given that medieval feeling of what these games are.
Yeah.
Is what I was getting at.
Fallout, Mass Effect.
Yeah.
I mean, post-apocalypse, then other is like futuristic sci-fi.
Futuristic space exploration, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to Starfield. I still haven't gotten a clear answer, like a full-on clear answer of, can my save game carry over from Xbox to Steam? We're pretty sure it won't. as it normally doesn't.
You gonna play it safe on that?
I don't know. There's a couple of ways I'm... Oh, I forgot. We're also getting City Skylines 2 this year. That's another one.
Yeah.
For me, anyway. That's another one for me to count.
So many titles, you forget that one, forget the ones coming up.
It's just amazing what a year it's gonna, a year it's been, and what a year is still to come. For Starfield, it's cross or it's Play Anywhere, whatever that title is.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as I'm playing through the Xbox ecosystem, whether that be on the PC or on my console, I can play both, and everything will move from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox on PC is different than Steam on PC. It's a brand new different store. You know, it's a totally different store, so I don't expect my save to move over into Steam. Problem with that is, and what I've read about as I read up on this, is that mods don't work great on the Xbox PC side of things. Steam side with mods for Bethesda games are fantastic.
Yeah.
They work wonders. They're very, very well done. They integrate very well. Everything works like it should, especially when you start involving mods.
Right.
Which, by the way, when I talk about mods, I'm only talking about things that a lot of players can tweak these games with mods.
Or fix in some cases.
To give you a better experience. Exactly. Which is exactly where I was going on this. Sure, the developing studio might get around to fixing that at some point, but a lot of players have time now and will fix it immediately so that you don't have to deal with whatever the problem may be or whatever the issue might be. There's aspects to that of it, to that with it as well. So I don't know. I'm a little bit... I would like to find out if I can get some way, if I can get that save to cross over from Xbox to Steam. I would love that. Because there's going to be times where I want to just play this on my Xbox and not all the time on the PC.
Yeah.
But there are going to be times where I want to play it on PC just because I want to play something and I'm only going to be, and I'm right there at the PC and I want to play it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like to have that option. I wish I could, but I'm almost positive that the Steam version is going to be its own little, sitting off on its own little area there.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything about it.
I think the bulk of the base is going to be there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. My issue with that is like, oh crap, I got to go through Xbox on PC, and I know that thing is horribly, well, randomly bugged. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The solution seems to be to either get a brand new drive and just dedicate it to that, or take a drive that you have and partition it. Partition that hard drive and make that your thing. That way you can just wipe that partition if anything, and just store it all there. You wipe that partition if you got to do a reinstall or got to, you know, if you want to just gut the thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm thinking money wise, and I'm also thinking of what's going to benefit me as far as playing on both. So Yeah, that's Nabokov saying the same thing. It'll be compatible on Xbox to Xbox on PC, but not, Steam won't do it. So, anyway, that'll do it. I mean, there was other stuff to talk about here, but not too much. Baldur's Gate 3 is 2023's best reviewed game so far. 2023 isn't over, but man. Let's see. How big is that Starfield game? That's something I wanted to look at. I've got it right here. Get ready to clear your disk space for Starfield. What do we got here? Starfield. How large? 1,000 planets. Starfield. Oh my god.
Well.
You see that?
No, your reaction.
Starfield. Will take up 140 gigs on PC and 126 gigs on your console, on your Xbox console.
Hmm.
That's pretty beefy. There's been beefier, but that's pretty beefy.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's been bigger titles than that.
Yeah. You can start preloading Starfield on Xbox now. So... So, yeah, there you go. That is it. I don't know if we're going to do a show next week. I know we're not doing a show on Labor Day, and there's 2 weeks away from Labor Day. So I don't know if we're doing a show next week. We're not. So we may take 2 weeks here. I don't know. We'll see. Because I keep looking at this news, and it's like, there's really nothing here. There's really nothing going on.
What was the biggest news this week?
I don't know.
Pokemon Cop?
I mean, I doubt that's the biggest news that was this week. I don't know.
That was one that was talked about most on the show today.
Today, yeah, just because it took place here or had to do, you know, with here. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to stick with him forever.
Nabokov says, a bit of a tangent, and I don't want to deep dive into the drama, but a journalistic question. Do you think Steve from Gamers Nexus was okay to make that video about Linus Tech Tips? I assume a bridge was burned, so to speak. I think Linus burned that bridge. Or, you know what? Yes. I think it's fine for Steve to make that video. The only reason I say that is that LTT originally called out Gamers Nexus on whatever it was. So Gamers Nexus replied with their response to that, saying, well, if you're going to call us out, then let's look at the receipts. Let's look at everything. Steve from Gamers Nexus, his reviews are so thorough on everything. He reviews hardware for PC.
Mm-hmm.
Not just hardware, but like PC cases as well, or fans, or just all kinds of PC components he does reviews for.
Mm-hmm.
But they are just thorough, just full of information and data and everything. Probably too much, honestly. He probably puts a whole lot of effort, probably more effort than he probably should, into these things. It's not a negative against him.
It's a part of his reputation, and that's what gets him up. The reputation he has for thorough review, then have at it, yeah.
But it is deep dive. So apparently he's got the receipts as far as when he got called out by, I want to say it was by the Linus Tech Tips. He came back with that and said, no, here's how we review our stuff, and here's how you review your stuff, because we've talked about this, and this is, you know, just calling him out on everything. No reason for him to even be making this up, because he's got the proof right there. His work speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was. He said it was about their backpack or something. Is this? Maybe that's something else that he's talking about. I'm not sure. But yeah. Anyway, that whole drama with Linus Tech Tips and Gamers Nexus. I feel that's okay. Like you said, Nabokov, he was. I think he was justified in that, especially given what was being said towards them from the other side. I think he was fine to do that. He was fine to give a response and to say, oh, and one more thing, while we're on this subject, here's the, you know, that sort of thing. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's fine. We do have to go. We got a few minutes here. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Oh, let me do a chat room roll call real quick if I can. The Mercy, I think, maybe. Thar66, Taxus 59, Samskio, Nabokov Fan 87, Mikuru X, Michael, I don't, XFE5RG, Kata, Elysian, Drapsnat, Deathful, Commander Root, 8 Hides, 01 Ella, AC Wraith, of course RJ in there as well. Thank you guys for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Keep an eye out on our Twitter page. That's where we'll let you know if we're going to be doing a show next week or not. But that's still to be decided. Really appreciate you showing up. Thank you all for joining us. Have a fantastic week. Here's music from a game called En Garde. It's the combat theme of that. We'll see you next Saturday on In-Game Chat.